yesterday was at another protest. A former hostage went there and made a speech, and it was really intense. It scared me a little bit.
We have a long fight ahead of us.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Here I am.
And here I am with Shai Davidai.
My guest today is probably the most special guest we've had in this show so far. If you're only listening, you might want to go on YouTube and watch this one, because this guest, this special guest, is wearing a t-shirt that says human in rainbow colors and wearing an old man's mask to conceal his identity. Because my guest today is my 9-year-old son, who we will refer to as O. So here I am with O Davidai.
Okay, what are we going to do?
Oh, how are you feeling being here?
So excited.
Are you really excited?
Yes. I'm smiling so hard under this mask.
Before I start asking you the questions, I want to just ask you a general question. What does it feel like to be on your dad's podcast?
Well, it's surprising.
Surprising? Why surprising?
I didn't know you would pick me, and...
How did you feel when
this whole place is surprising, actually.
Why did you feel... How did you feel when I asked you to come on my podcast?
Like I said, excited, and I had a rush.
Right? Yeah, you had a rush? Did you tell any of your friends that you were going to be on a podcast?
I actually didn't have time. I forgot about it.
What do you think your friends would say if they knew you were on a podcast?
I have no idea.
All right, so you'll have to ask them. So, I'm going to ask you this question, the same question I ask every person who comes on this podcast. What kind of a Jew are you?
I prepared for this. I'm here to Jew.
I am here to Jew. What does that mean?
I think it means like I'm a kid. I'm not that prominent, but I'm also here.
And why is it important for you to be here? Where is that here?
In the outside world, I guess.
You told me once that you feel like no one really notices kids. Like all the adults just notice adults. You feel that a lot?
Yeah.
What do you feel?
It's like an adult becomes... An adult can become famous. An adult can like, and the kids they don't have much.
They don't have much. So I wanted to have you here because we've had a lot of guests speak about what it's like being an adult after October 7 and the war, but we really never had kids telling us.
I requested you to say that.
So can you tell me, What do you know about the war between Israel and Hamas?
What I've learned is it started a bit before, long before October 7th, but now is like the big time. And I've heard, and like on October 7th, terrorists like broke into a kibbutzim and kidnapped people, I guess.
Yeah. Do you remember when you learned about the war?
Actually, in the beginning when we went to protest, they were all about democracy, actually.
Right, we used to
Then it changed to hostages, and I'm like, what's happening? But then you explained to me, and then we do it every Sunday.
What do we do every Sunday?
We go to a hostage march and we march around the reservoir.
And what are these marches for? Why do we need to march?
For the hostages and to show that we support and we're here.
And how do you feel? Because I know that a lot of times you and your sister, you're tired, you don't want to go, it's too cold, it's too hot. How do you feel when you go to the marches for the hostages?
It's tiring, but it's good to feel that you're doing something. It's good to feel that you're like supporting.
And there's been some stuff that's been very difficult for you in those marches, right?
Very.
Like what?
There were some, like, it was once, it wasn't at the march, but it was at another protest. And one, a former hostage, went there and made a speech, and it was really intense. And it scared me a little bit.
What scared you?
How, like, it's possible for people to take other people against their actual will.
Yeah, I think it scares adults as well. Just adults sometimes don't talk about their fear as much as children do. But then we've also had some, you could say, wins, right? When we were in Israel, we went to Hostage Square.
Yeah.
Do you remember why we went there?
Because the hostages came back, all the living hostages.
All the living hostages came back. And how did you feel when we went there not to march for their release, but to celebrate their release?
It felt very, very different, but very, very similar.
So tell me, what felt different?
There were helicopters going all around, looping in the air, and big screens, and people yelling, and happiness, and like there were so many people.
And what felt the same?
There were still the posters of the soldiers, and there were still the tents with the yellow ribbon.
Right. And
there were still like the same exhibit there and everything.
Have you ever talked with your friends about the hostages?
Well, I sometimes.
Sometimes?
Usually my Israeli friends more.
With your Israeli friends?
Yeah.
What do you talk with your Israeli friends about?
About, like, the hostages mostly.
But what about them?
Like, how it's really monstrous, Hamas, and how it's very scary for just a kid.
It is very scary. Do you remember when the war just started, you used to see all the hostage posters on our street and in our neighborhood? Do you remember what you would do?
I don't know.
You used to point out the children that were younger than you, and most of them came back, obviously.
Can I talk about yelling fear for a bit?
Yeah, of course.
It's really scary to think kids even younger than me can be taken and killed. It's really scary.
It is very scary. Why do you think such things happen in the adult world?
I'll say that I have no idea. Like personally, I don't relate with taking people against their will, but I just don't understand why it happened.
I think a lot of people don't understand. What would be your... Let me ask it differently. I have to say, it's really exciting to have you here.
Let's
take a different track because I'm getting a bit emotional. What's it like being an Israeli-American kid? What does it mean for you to be both an Israeli and an American kid?
Awesome.
Awesome?
Yeah.
How so? Tell me why it's awesome.
Because I'm like a connection between two. It's like a connection between two worlds.
Okay, so tell me about each world. Tell me which world do you want to start with?
Start with Israel. So it's like where my whole family's from. Everybody's there. It's a whole new culture. And then there's New York. Whereas, like, it's actually not that different. They both have big cities and stuff. And they also have family in New York. And I was born there, so it's a bit different because I was born there. So I feel like a connection with New York. But my whole family's there, and that's where I'm from. So I also feel a connection with Israel. It's really interesting, actually.
And how do you feel when you spend summers in Israel?
Well, like, I'm obviously happy because I have no more school, but I think Happy to be with family.
Family. Is family important to you?
Very. I don't know how I would live without family.
You don't know how you'd live without family?
No.
Tell me a bit about what do you like about family, about your family?
We're not like any other family. There's a special bond that we all have. It's not like a lot of other families.
Tell me about that bond. I think a lot of people would want to know what that bond is.
The bond is we're like a humorous family, I guess.
A humorous family?
We always make jokes about each other. We laugh at each other, but we also love each other very much.
We do. We love each other very much. So what do you know about what Ima and I have been doing since October 7, 2023?
First thing I saw about you and Ima, you each kept, I guess, disappearing at the beginning. First I thought it was like work and stuff, but then I noticed it happened more and more. Then each one of you was going away for more days. Then I started like missing you. It was a very big change. I want to cry.
I am crying already. Do you know where I was going?
Wow, at the beginning I really didn't know. And then I each knew a bit more every time. Then I knew we were going to protest, then I knew we were going to talk, then I knew we were going to ceremonies. And one time I even came with you to Montreal.
That's right. Do you remember what we did in Montreal?
Well, you made a speech one day. And you were at, like, a workshop, I think, one day.
Right, a workshop for students. What do you think I was doing with the students? What was I teaching them?
I don't know. Yeah. Tell me.
I was teaching them how to be student activists.
Oh.
Do you know,
that makes sense.
Do you know what an activist is?
Yes.
What would you say? What is an activist?
Somebody who believes in something so much they want to fight for it.
Right.
They would like, and if something's not fair, they would fight for it. But not in like violently, evilly. They would fight for it like fighting the good fight, I guess.
So how do you fight the good fight?
You stand up for others. You know what's good and what's bad. These all sound like stuff we do from our bullying assemblies.
What's your, I don't know about the bullying assemblies.
At the school, each like couple of months, we have this big bullying assembly. And it varies from a lot of things. This year we learned about the different types of bullying. There's like verbal bullying, violent bullying and offensive bullying.
And what do they tell you? What do you need to do when there's a bully?
Well, if you're a victim, you need to either stand up for yourself or quickly tell somebody. Mm-hmm. And if you're not the victim, somebody else, you have to go and help the person. We do these talks about upstander, bystander, and bully. So the bully is pretty simple. You're being mean to somebody, they don't like it, you're the bully. The victim is like the person who's being bullied. A bystander would be somebody who watches the bullying, doesn't do anything. An upstander is somebody who watches the bullying and comes and stands up for the victim. And another bully could be somebody who's like a bystander and upstander, but instead they watch it and they go and help the bully.
Mm-hmm. And if you had to understand the war in Israel and everything that's happening in New York, who is the bully? Who is the victim? Who are the bystanders and who are the upstanders?
That's actually really complicated because there are bullies that are fighting for the victim, but they are actually there's some doing bad. And there's also, and Hamas is like the bully.
Right.
Like activists are the upstander, and Hamas and Israel and the hostages, I guess, are the victims.
And what do you know about what Ima has been doing since October 7? Isn't it?
That's hard. She's in the writing world a lot, writing about Israel and the war.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her writing a lot about stuff like that.
And if you could do something, what would you do to be an activist, an upstander?
One thing I'm particularly good at is spreading news.
Writing news?
Spreading news, not exactly.
Spreading news? So what does being Jewish mean? What do you do?
Some people are religious, very religious, and go to the synagogue every time and pray and do stuff like that. And some people, like us, are more secular. And like, they're still Jewish. They celebrate the holidays. We do Shabbat dinner every time. But we don't go to, like, the synagogue and pray and do that stuff that much.
I understand Jewish now. Now let's imagine I'm a kid and I have no idea what is Israel.
Oh,
can you?
It's hard to take you serious.
Can you explain what Israel is?
It's a country founded by pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the USA, because it was found by pioneers. Israel was founded by pioneers.
Mm-hmm. And what? Tell me, what do I need to know about Israel?
There's one thing I want to keep for the lightning round, because I know what you ask.
Okay, so you'll keep that for later in the conversation.
But it was made from the ground, and it started as a small community, and then it grew and grew, and now it's a big country.
Now, let's become more complicated.
Okay.
Imagine that I'm a kid and I don't know anything about what's going on between Israel and Palestine. Can you explain that to me?
So I think I already said this, but it started a long time ago when this is the Big Bang, I guess.
And who is fighting who?
Some of the kids are like, so Israel is fighting Palestine? I'm like, no. Israel is fighting Hamas and the other terrorist organization.
So what's the difference between Hamas and Palestine?
Palestine's just a country.
Or it's not a country, but it's an area.
Yeah.
Right? But
Palestine's the place. So
mm-hmm.
Hamas is the people.
So what are Palestinians?
Palestinians are like any other people.
Right. So how?
They're just people who live in Palestine.
So are Palestinians Hamas?
No. There are Palestinians who choose to be Hamas, but Palestinians are not Hamas.
So who's the war with?
Hamas.
Okay. So I've asked you about...
It's funny when you're like, uh-huh. So that's what it is.
Well, I'm pretending to be a friend of yours who's 9 and knows nothing. So I've asked you about being Jewish. I've asked you about being Israeli. And I've asked you about the war. Now I'm going to be a bit more complicated, okay?
Okay.
Imagine that your friend says, well, you were born in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
Why do you care about Israel?
Wow, that's good. Because all my family is from there. Everything I know, almost everything I know is there.
So that's why you care about it. And then why do you care about being Jewish?
Because that's who I am. I identify as Jewish. I want to be who I identify as.
So you wanna be yourself.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, so before we get to the lightning round, because I'm gonna make this episode a bit shorter for you, I do wanna ask you.
I want a long.
You want a long episode?
I want a long episode.
So I did ask you if you wanted to talk about things specifically. So is there anything that you want to talk about today?
How it's different from being a kid and being an adult in this time. How it's like, you asked me about how it's like a kid, but how it's different.
So do you have questions for me?
I think, yeah, we should like compare and contrast.
Okay, let's compare and contrast.
So how is it for you as an adult?
I think that as an adult, it's been really difficult because from the very first moment, you know, that Ima and I were very shocked and we were crying a lot and we were very scared. But also adults have to be the responsible ones at home, and we needed to show you and your sister that we're strong and that everything's going to be okay. And it was very complicated for us to do two things that seem very different from each other.
I think it was complicated for me and a bit different. That, like, I'm trying to still learn about it, but I'm also trying to be in it.
You're trying to learn about what?
About the war and all that's happening. But, like, I'm even though I'm still learning about it, I want to really be in it.
Right. By the way, you should know that most adults, maybe even all adults, are learning while they're also in the moment. But many, many adults pretend that they know everything and they don't need to learn. And I think it shows a lot of character that you're owning up to the fact that you don't know
that
everything.
That was sarcasm. I knew that already.
Oh, you were being sarcastic? It's hard with the mask. What else? What else should we compare?
Wow, that's good. I really want to tell you. But I think we should compare. I think I want you to tell me something.
Yes.
What can I do as a kid? And how is that different and similar from what an adult can do?
About the war and about anti-Semitism? I think that as a kid, you shouldn't do anything because it's the parents' job to protect you.
But I want to do stuff.
So I tell people, no matter how old they are, I tell them, do what you can and what you know. So use your skills. What skills would you say that you have?
Like I told you, spreading news.
Spreading news. So how would you spread news?
I want to say somewhere else. I have hobbies like creativity, artistry. I'm like a very artsy person.
So how could you use your ability to spread the news and to be artistic to do good in the world?
I could make posters, but that's a bit complicated.
Why is that complicated? I think you can make amazing posters. Good. What would you make a poster about?
I could make a poster. I don't know. I don't really know. Oh, I don't want to like. What? Can I ask you something?
You can ask, yes.
So you said to me that you wanted to write like a grown-up graphic novel. Mm-hmm. Called How to Be a Radical Moderate. And then we had this very long talk, a bunch of charts, about, and you explained to me what radicalism and moderate are and how to be a radical moderate. So what you explained to me was to be radical is like big actions.
You're right. Keep going.
And it's like big actions, but that's taking them. But Can you remind me?
Yeah, it's okay. It's good that you're asking. So I said that you can be radical in your beliefs and you can be radical in your actions. And what you want to be or aim is to be radical in your actions, but moderate in your beliefs.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to act, you want to do things, but also you don't want to be an extremist in your views, because extremism ends up being violent and non-peaceful, which is something we stand against.
You explained to me that radical is high intensity in actions, moderate is low, but if you're too radical, you can become bad.
Right.
You can do bad stuff. And if you're too moderate when you're not doing anything, you're a bystander. And then we did this chart about how you're about so radical is like we did this with
it's
emojis.
It's very hard to explain.
So it was like an open mouth, but like bad. And
wait, so let's break it down, because I think not everyone
will
understand.
The radical moderate was an open mouth, but good.
Right, so what does the open mouth represent?
That they're talking, we're showing everybody.
Right, but we're screaming, but we're shouting. And then you drew the closed mouth.
The closed mouth and good, the closed mouth and bad.
So let's break it down. So which is better, being an open mouth or a closed mouth?
Open mouth.
Open mouth. And which is better, to have your frowning eyes and being angry, or the happy and positive eyes?
Positive.
So which one should you aim for?
Open mouth, positive eyes.
Right. What does that represent?
That represents radical moderate. People talking, but also talking for good.
Right. Because we don't want to talk for bad. We don't want to amplify bad. But we also don't want to keep our mouths closed and be silent if we believe in good, because we need more people to speak up for good.
Wow.
So what would you say, like, you know, we've been talking about things that I am concerned about, but what are some things that you are concerned about as a kid?
Sometimes it's like you've been targeted a lot in your safety, but sometimes when we talked about this and like, I can't say my name. I can't say a lot of personal, my safety sometimes, actually.
Right. So I've had to hide you and your sister so people don't know who you are. Do you understand why?
Yes, I think I do.
Why do you think that's the case?
Because we're important to you, and you don't want people targeting us. People knowing too much about us, and then they can target you. Because nobody's ever targeted you physically. Not a lot. There was like the one cop incident. But they've targeted you media. I've seen pictures of you like as the devil. People like disordering your words and changing what you're saying. It's scary. Very scary.
It is scary. And why do you think people do that?
Because they don't believe in you, but they can't find another way to show it. So this is how they show it. It's very bad.
Let's say people, you disagree with someone and you want to show it in a positive way. What would you do?
I could debate with them, make a conversation, explain to them what I think, explain to them why I think what they think is wrong. Instead of being violent and using very bad stuff.
So I want to ask you about one more thing that I don't know if you know a lot about, but do you know what anti-Semitism is?
Well, it's hatred of Jews. And but I don't really know a lot about it.
Why do you think anti-Semitism exists?
I want to talk more, but I'll actually say this truth. I have no idea. I I don't like it. I don't know why somebody would make it.
You know, a lot of times I have people here and they have a lot of very, very long and important and informative answers. But I think your answer is very, very honest. Like, a lot of times we don't know. We don't know why bad things happen in the world and why some people have bad thoughts and bad actions. Do you think a lot about that?
Yeah. I could do. It's very scary, sad.
But you're also a kid and you're very, very happy a lot of the time.
I'm an optimistic person, I could say.
You are an optimistic person. I want you to imagine that you're talking to children in your school.
I'm closing my eyes.
And I want you to give them advice on how to be themselves. What would you say?
Like, if somebody makes fun of them or who they are, they just ignore.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I want to be, and that's the advice I would give to other people.
Be a brave person.
Yeah.
Be yourself. What would you say to kids who want to be more proud of their Judaism, their Jewish identity?
I've never made fun of Judaism, so I really don't know the answer to that.
It's good that you've never had that experience. All right, so let's hit the lightning round. And you know the lightning round. It's a series of rapid-fire questions. There's no right or wrong answer. Just tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Oh, what is one thing people don't know about you?
I've done a musical. I'm a very theatery person.
You're a very theatric person. You've been in musicals.
And can I say where I was born?
Yes, you can say where you were
born. I was not born in New York, not born in Israel.
Where were you born?
New Jersey.
Right. What is one thing people don't know about the Jews?
Israel is only 77 years old.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite curse?
I've got to say the F word. It's like it rolls off your tongue.
Can you say it, but really angrily?
No.
Yeah. Should I say it?
Yeah, say it. Fuck. That's why I hear a lot of people say it.
When was the last time you cried?
Stress. Stress about school.
Stress about school. If you could have any Jewish person over for Shabbat dinner from any moment in history, dead or living, who would that be?
Saba Kaol.
Why him? Saba Kaol was my grandfather.
Because I've heard about Saba Benny. I've heard about Saba Tzvi.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really heard about that much about Saba Kaol. And I heard about you had a big bond with him and Saftalidia, so I would like to have them over for Shabbat dinner.
Mm.
I want to meet them, I guess.
What is your favorite Jewish holiday?
Ooh. I've got to say Passover.
What is your least favorite Jewish holiday?
It's like Tu Bishvat. It's like, I don't know you. Why are you here? It's like the person who came, I don't know them.
Tu Bishvat. It's like nobody remembers it and all of a sudden it's there.
It's like it just popped up in the middle of a calendar.
When do you feel safest?
At home.
At home? When do you feel least safe?
I'll tell the truth, at school.
At school? Hmm.
I don't know why, I just don't feel safe there.
That's not good. What gives you hope?
You.
Sir, me?
You, Ima.
Me and Ima give you hope?
Yes.
Why do we give you hope?
I want to be like you.
I wish I could be like you. So.
I feel like we both want to be like each other.
Yeah. Finally, every episode, I urge the listeners to donate to one charity that does good in Israel, the Jewish diaspora, or the world in general. where would you want people to donate to this week?
I think a lot of people said this, but the Hostage and Family Fund.
The Hostage and Family Forum? Why? Can you explain why it's important to you?
Because it's one of the only charities I know. And they do a lot. They do a lot for Israel. And I feel like they could use, they should have more help, more support. Can I actually talk to you about something?
Yes, of course.
About Howard, what did you, a lot of former episodes didn't want me to listen to because they were intense stuff, but how were they different from here and what happened? Like, you don't have to tell me the stuff I shouldn't know, but what happened and how is it different from this episode?
So a lot of times in this show, we bring people that have gone through very difficult experiences.
Yeah, I was also going to ask you, like, what is a common theme that happens for the episodes?
Sometimes we talk about things that are very difficult even for adults to listen to. Wow. And because you never know how children will understand certain things, there are some stuff that I don't necessarily think you're ready to hear. I'm not saying that you can't understand it, and I'm sure that in a couple of years you'll be ready. But we've had people talking about difficult experiences in their lives, about difficult things that happened on October 7 and during the war, about anti-Semitism, which is scary for a lot of people.
And remind me later to ask a question that, like, I don't think people listening would like.
No, ask it now.
It's I don't think so.
No, ask, don't worry. You want to ask me first?
Yes.
I was like afraid it would be like unfair to some people who are on your show, but who did you most enjoy talking with?
I don't think that's an unfair question. I think it's a very, very good question. I loved having Ima on. That was a great conversation and episode. I loved having so many people. Dalia Ziada is an Egyptian journalist who spoke up for Israel. She's not Israeli, she's not Jewish, but she spoke up and had to pay a price. I loved having Hillel Nour. He does a lot of work in the United Nations.
There were two people I know you liked because you actually, I know you liked a lot.
Who? Tell me.
Actually, three.
Okay, so
you liked Ari a lot because we're already friends.
Ari Axelrod. And we weren't friends when I interviewed him.
Oh,
we became friends after. He's a Broadway singer and he tackles anti-Jewish and anti-Israel.
And
sentiment.
I don't remember his name, but I know he started a school.
Started a school?
I don't remember.
Tell me more.
We were at Peaky Barista, and we met him, and he was there. The other group of people?
I don't remember who. You're absolutely right. Sheikh Musa Drame.
Yes,
okay. He's an imam. He a Muslim imam from the Bronx. He had an incredible story, and we've had him.
And I've met him, and he's an amazing person. He's really nice.
He is, and you've met Simon Deng, who's...
Oh, yeah, yeah, Simon.
And he fights against slavery and for the hostages.
He's always at the marches. He's really nice.
He's always at the marches. He's really nice. I've had Nitzan and Dede, Nitzan Mintz and Dede Bende.
Yeah, they're like, they're so cute. They're so cute.
They're artists. There's been so many great episodes, and...
I'm like... When you notice that, I'm like, nice to feel I'm not the only person in a mask.
That's true. We actually were wondering, maybe we should bring you a Dede mask, but we chose a different mask. Do you have any other questions?
Do you have any questions?
No, I want to keep this for you.
I personally want you to ask me a couple of, like, questions.
Well, I'm very, very interested in understanding what's it like being my son. Am I doing a good job?
You are doing an amazing job.
And if we turned off the cameras and no one was recording, would you say the same thing?
Yes. You have an... I feel like you're a better dad than most, than many people I know. Well, it's funny. Like, because you might not, we fight a lot, and you're not always at home. But you try your best. That's the best.
Right. I think you're an amazing son. And I think a lot of times I forget that you're only 9 years old. I think a lot of people listening would not realize that, yes, you are a kid and you should be a kid and enjoy your life. But sometimes you speak like an adult.
And something I want people to do to kids more. No, I don't treat me like 9 years old. I want them to treat them like adults.
Yes, maybe I will ask you this, and that would be the last question. If you could talk to all the adults listening in, what would you tell them to do different with children?
Which camera should I look to?
Look to this camera, right there, over here.
So, don't treat kids like, actually, treat kids like kids, but try to treat them like adults. Because, like, don't forget they're kids, but treat them like adults more.
What does that mean? How would they treat you more like an adult?
It's like if they, you close your eyes and you, if you were talking to an adult about the same topic, how, what would you do differently? And the thing you would do differently is talk to them about that.
I see.
I think a lot of kids want that.
A lot of kids want to be treated like adults. Is there anything else you want to tell adults listening?
No.
All right. So I think this has been a great conversation. And the best thing about it is that once the cameras stop rolling, we can keep talking because I get to have you for the rest of my life. So here I am with my son. Give me a hug.
Hi, I'm Michael Greenspan, Shai's father-in-law. I'd like to thank you for listening to the Here I Am podcast with Shai Davidai. Here I Am is recorded at the Cave Production House in Hackensack, New Jersey, and is brought to you in partnership with Abby Sophia and Adamit Productions. You can find us on Instagram, YouTube, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'd also like to extend my deepest gratitude to everyone at Adamit Productions for turning Shai's dream into a reality, and to all our donors and partners for their unwavering commitment to fighting for Jewish civil rights. Most importantly, I'd like to thank you, our listeners. Let's be honest, none of this would have been possible without your support and dedication. Showing up is half the battle. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being there. Thank you for saying, "Here I am."